All right. Great to hear from Mark Simon. I appreciate it. Only 140 more to go for the Mets, and we'll see what happens. All right. Joining us, he does a great job for KMBR.com. He covers the Giants on the beat, and that is Danny Emmerman. Danny, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Marty. How are you?
We're doing fine, and what a day at the ballpark yesterday. But before we do that, tell us a little bit about your background, because I want to tell you, I enjoy these game stories that you write on KMBR.com, and I'll tell you why. You don't litter your story with quote after quote after quote. It's more your interpretation of what you saw. So I want to commend you for that. So give us a little of your background.
Well, I appreciate the kind words, of course, and it means a lot coming from you. As for my background, I wouldn't say I've, you know, a particularly interesting, groundbreaking background. You know, I grew up on the East Coast in suburban Boston. I went to Syracuse University, just like everyone else in the sports media. And then just last summer, I moved out here after graduating from Syracuse to cover the Giants. And so far, it's been a blast. And I've been really enjoying covering this team. I've been really enjoying covering and living in the Bay Area, and it's been great.
Well, you do a good job. You really do. Danny Emmerman with us. You can follow him on Twitter. He writes for KMBR.com. All right, the ball club. As I said in my open, what a crazy day at the ballpark yesterday, starting off with the COVID list. Give us your take on that for a minute.
Yeah, so, I mean, at this point, as I'm sure you and all the listeners know, at this point, the Giants have, like, an entire B team out on either COVID list or on the injured list. It's like the Billy Joel song, if you just run through all the names together. It's like Longoria, LaStella Wade, Cobb, Bell, Duggar, Yaz, Litzel, Leon, Disclafani, Jock. You can't even say it all in one breath. And this is, you know, the Giants. Kid Kapler and all the Giants are going to say all the right things. They're going to say that every team deals with this kind of thing. Every team deals with injuries. It's just about stepping up and everybody doing their job. But they can say that, but, you know, this is not normal, especially this early in the season. Usually the war of attrition kind of catches up to you maybe in the dog days of summer, but we're only 3 weeks into the year, and you have 10, 11 guys already sidelined. You have guys like Jason Krzan making their debuts, which is a lot of fun, but making their debuts out of necessity. And it's not really not ideal at all. It's not what you want, Marty.
No, if you look at the lineup last night, and, you know, including Bart, there were about four guys who should have been in AAA who are starting for the Giants against the Nationals last night. So it's a point well taken. You wrote a lot about Krzan in your story today, and you really covered his background. Summarize that a little bit for the listeners.
Yeah, I think my favorite thing just about Krzan is just the resilience and the never giving up, even through all the minor leagues. And people don't really understand, and I'll admit I will never understand it either, just me being a writer and not actually doing it, but we'll never understand the actual grind that it takes to work through the minor leagues and to work through the minor leagues for so long. He spent 1,132 games there. And it's just by far the most on the team. For reference, like Jason Vosser was there for a long time. He spent 709 minor league games, and Joey Bart played 197 minor league games. It's just like a fraction of what Jason Vossler, what Jason Krzan put in. And this is a guy who he played on teams named the Flying Tigers, the Sea Wolves, the Mud Hens, the Rumble Ponies, and of course the River Cats. And it's just so impressive that he stuck with it this entire time. His dad told him when he got drafted, just never stop playing until somebody doesn't give you a jersey anymore. And he never forgot that. And I think it's a really awesome story.
Hey, you almost got a hit. The ball he hit at Sanchez was smoked, and Sanchez just grabbed it. It looked like it was going up the middle. He didn't get a hit. He got a walk eventually. But I thought he smoked the second one.
Yeah, he has some good at bats. And Gabe Kapler said as much post game too, which I was kind of surprised. I know it's hard for managers to call out some good things after a loss like that, but he did mention Crisan. He was impressed by his at-bats and his patience. I thought he swung at good pitches, which is important that he was able to pick up and recognize big league pitching. And he's a guy who, you know, he's more of a doubles than a home run guy. And if he stays up with the big league for with the big league club for any amount of, you know, extended time, I think he'll be able to barrel a couple balls for sure.
Yeah, it looked pretty good. We had an incident last weekend, of course, with the Giants pushing the envelope. And I've said it on the show numerous times, and you've written about it, about this unwritten rule business. And my take is you have to draw the line somewhere. And where is the line drawn? And that is what is very blurry today. That's my opinion. So Washington complains last week, and then it's 9-3, and Robles drops down a bunt. But I will tell you this, 9-3, I never felt the Giants were out of the game ever because of the way they approached the at-bats and the way the Washington bullpen was. But there was Robles dropping a bunt 9-3. What do you think?
Yeah, like you, I just never thought the Giants were really out of that game. You know, baseball these days, anything can happen and things can happen so fast. It's not like you're facing this dominant starter who's just going to go the distance every game. You're going to have chances to put guys on base and to drive them home. And it's not like basketball or football where you can just take a knee or dribble out the clock just because you're up big. Like, anything can happen, and I think that's the beauty of the game. And I was very glad that Victor Robles got a little bit of revenge last night. I know he was a bit peeved last weekend in Washington at Tyro Estrada. So I'm glad that he had a great game. It's good for him. Maybe he'll learn a lesson out of that, in that, you know, everybody should be playing hard, and there's no real reason to ease up. I'm not really of that mindset like you are, where you need to draw a line somewhere. I think if anything, you know, the game was a bit too long last night, 3 hours and 46 minutes. But that's going to happen from time to time, and that's all right.
You got your first experience in the Bay Area with the Wave. Not very popular. Tell us about what you saw last night.
Yeah, I'm curious what you think about the Wave.
A waste of time.
I was shocked at the absolute vitriol that the Bay Area has for the Wave. And given that disdain, I'm surprised that it happened for so long last night. They made 8 turns around the ballpark. And then they put on the rally flashlights, too. I have no problem with it. I just hope all the fans have fun. I don't really care how they achieve that, if they're drinking beers or doing whatever, doing the Wave, that's fine by me. Yeah. I thought it was just so funny how everybody was blaming the Wave on killing the rally.
Oh, come on.
Just like, if it was that powerful, why don't they do the Wave when the other team's at that?
Yeah, no, your colleagues, Andy and Alex, were all over it, believe me. And it's not cool in San Francisco, and that's the only way to explain it. The uniforms are cool, the City Connect uniforms are cool, but the Wave, sorry, not cool. That's the way it goes with that. Soto, I thought he was very interesting last night. And, of course, a very smart player. Look, Wood gets the ball, throws the ball, gets the ball, throws the ball, and you want to upset his timing, and Soto tried. And describe what you saw. Give us a little bit on Soto and Wood last night.
Yeah, well, just to start, Soto is a spectacular player, incredible to watch. The game's finest, among the game's finest hitters, if not the finest hitter. He's amazing. And the matchup against Alex Wood was fascinating. Alex Wood's a guy who wants to work really, really fast. He is going to be courteous with how he pitches. He's not going to quick pitch you, but once you're in the box, you should be ready for a pitch for sure. He doesn't really step on the rubber until a guy gets into the batter's box, but once you're in there, he can deliver for sure. He doesn't waste much time dilly-dallying at all. And I'm sure Soto had seen him before. Soto knew what to expect. But for some reason last night, he was a bit late to call time on a couple pitches. And at one point, It burned Soto, where he wasn't ready for the pitch and he kind of just checked his swing and popped out. But the other time, he did get timeout from the ump, and Alex Wood was going to throw a slider, and then after he had to like hold on to it because time was granted, and he actually kind of psyched himself out and switched the pitch to a fastball. And he said after the game that he regretted that, and that switch up led to Soto's home run. It's the fastball that he changed to that Soto blasted over the center field fence.
Well, I love the one he hit to right. Come on, he smoked one off the Levi's landing sign and right and ended up with a single. How about that?
Yeah, I think that hit was gone in like 17 ballparks, is what the computer said. That was a shot.
Yeah, I liked it. Well, Washington broke loose. Look, the Giants embarrassed them last weekend in Washington. And today's matchup, Adone and Logan Webb, you would think that this should be an easy win for the Giants.
You would think, but as you know, you've been doing this a lot longer than I have, Marty. That's why they
Yes,
play the game.
I know. I know. Hey, Joey Bart. Last night, again, he crushed a home run to left, I think 108, 110 miles an hour off the bat. He got a couple of hits, but he struck out, let's face it, he didn't strike out last night, and maybe it was the quality of the pitchers that he was facing. But 23 strikeouts, 42 at bats, and about 50 plate appearances. What's your take on Joey Bart right now?
Yeah, that specific stat is the first thing that I would go to, and that's definitely alarming. He's definitely having trouble picking up and recognizing off-speed pitches. He's having trouble making contact, which is it'll get him into trouble for sure. But I will say, if he can continue to hit home runs at a decent rate, I think he'll still be a valuable player. He just won't be. He probably won't, reach the ceiling that I think Giants fans probably hope. But you look at the catch position in general, and I think it's from a hitting standpoint, if you can get really anything of value out of your catcher, I think that's a huge benefit to the team. And you look at a guy like Mike Zunino in Tampa Bay, who has kind of a similar strikeout rate as Joey Bart did now, but he just hits a ton of home runs. So when he's not getting on base a ton, but he's hitting home runs. And I think he was an all-star a year or two ago. And that's a valuable, player profile that I think Joey Bart might have kind of a similar trajectory towards.
Yeah, Zunino has no chance if he doesn't hit a home run. At least Bart, I think, he seems to be caught in the middle, as they say, looking for maybe the breaking ball, and then all of a sudden he's late on the fastball. But I think it's in there for him. I think the power is. That's a good comparison with Zunino. It really is. Of course, he's University of Florida guy where I went, so I'm interested in him. As we wrap it up with Danny Emmerman, a pleasure to have you on. We look forward to having you back. Flores has been outstanding. There was nothing that anyone could throw last night that could get past him.
He's been excellent. And it's been great to see. He's, rightfully so, he's a fan favorite. I know he's a favorite in the clubhouse among his teammates. He's a great teammate, excellent personality. I think he's a very easy guy to root for. So it's great that it feels like he can get a hit anytime he digs into the batter's box these days. And it's been great to see that he is having such a strong start because, I mean, without him, it's hard to imagine where the Giants' offense might be, especially without Belt and Longoria and LaStella and Wade and Duggar and Yaz and Jock. Like we started at the beginning, getting production out of a guy like Wilmer Flores is kind of a way to rebuild some of that lost production, and I think he's been huge.
Yeah, huge for me. Huge for me. Well, you lose a game and you go from first to third. How about this race? Dodgers, Padres, Giants.
Incredible. I can't believe if I was a Giants fan, I'd be looking, or sorry, if I was a Dodgers fan, I would just be looking at the standings every day and just thinking like, wow, we're doing this again? Are you kidding me?
Good point.
They have one of the most talented rosters I've ever seen, and they're still, I mean, the way it looks now, they're still going to have to battle through the regular season. And it's, I hope it's going to be like last year, because that was awesome.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to Tuesday and Wednesday, Giants Giants down in L.A. Danny, a pleasure having you on. Very good. You're doing a great job, and I appreciate it. Look forward to having you on again. Danny Emmerman, KMBR.com. Danny, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Marty. Appreciate it.
No, a pleasure. All right, more coming up. Bill is going to be joined with by Eno Saris of The Athletic, and Eno's got some very interesting ideas about what is going on in baseball, with the baseball, and how the game is progressing this year. I can't wait to listen to Eno. He's terrific. So Bill comes back with Eno Saris right here, KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.